The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I finished up a message last week about warfare, spiritual warfare. And, you know, just about everything we talk about really has to do with spiritual warfare. It's just a part of a Christian life. If you're having problems with relationships, you're doing spiritual warfare. If you're having financial problems, you're doing spiritual warfare. Even if you're not having financial problems, you better be doing spiritual warfare. You know, no matter what it is in your life, what you're encountering, there's going to be opposition. And that opposition comes from an enemy that we have. Therefore, we are in war, regardless of what many theologians will tell you, that there isn't any war anymore. There is a war going on. Jesus walked on the face of the earth and he cast out devils. Why? Because those devils were his enemy trying to oppress and possess and keep people from accomplishing what God wanted them to. They needed healings. They needed deliverance. They needed set free. We still do today. God's people still need some deliverance in their life. Now, I don't think God's people are possessed by the devil, but he certainly is oppressing a lot of people. I see it all over the body of Christ. Great oppression. And many are just walking around saying, oh, it'll be okay. You'll be all right. Well, we have the power in the name of Jesus to make it right. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Is this a Presbyterian church?
No, sir, it's not. Full gospel, Holy Ghost.
Amen. I could have swore I saw some Presbyterians sitting out there. Now, I'm not opposed to Presbyterians, but I can just tell you, I've been in Presbyterian services, and you sit with your hands folded, and you're quiet. You keep your mouth shut. You know, that's all right. There's a holy roller. How'd she get in here? Hallelujah. Come on, people. We serve a living God. It's okay for us to get loud and get out of control sometimes, as long as we are living to serve the living God. You know, as long as it's directed to him to glorify his name.
That's right.
You know, I don't want a dead religion in my life. You know, I want it to be alive. I want it to feel vibrant. I want to feel like I'm accomplishing something for the kingdom. And yes, you know, I praise God for the people that God puts around me. And praise God for the prophets that God has placed in this congregation, because they speak into my life. And sometimes they speak into my life when God tells them things that I thought was hidden. You know? And not that I'm in any kind of gross sin or anything. I don't want you to think that. Okay? No, me and Tammy's okay. I'm not having an affair. Nothing like that's going on. Okay. I'm not smoking dope behind everybody's back. Okay. I don't know what else I could touch on, but I don't have issues with pornography. Okay. Hallelujah. I could have issues with pornography. I'm a man. And, you know, there are situations that occur in my life that if I'm not on guard, it could lead me in that direction.
Come on, sir.
Amen. I mean, I'm just telling you the way it is. We're all fighting this battle.
That's right, sir. That's right. Right. That's right.
But we are victorious in Jesus' name. And listen to me. Even if you fall on your face, I want to tell you, if you are wrestling with that issue, the issue of pornography, even if you fall on your face, Jesus will pick you back up and set you on your feet once again. Don't let the enemy condemn you. I know it's a horrible oppression that the enemy, addiction that the enemy puts on people. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to tell you there is freedom in Jesus' name. There is power in Jesus' name. And we can help you. If you have drug addiction, it can be, you can overcome it in Jesus' name. I'm not telling you it's going to be an easy thing. I'm telling you the power of the blood of Jesus sets you free. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Glory. I want to get connected. How many of you want to get connected? That's what I'm going to talk about. I'm starting a new series, and this series is connecting to the abundant life. Do we want an abundant life?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I think just about every Christian would like to have an abundant life. Turn with me to John chapter 10. We're going to read beginning with verse 17. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's look at John chapter 10. Begin with verse 10. Okay. Hallelujah. Let's go back. I'm going to have you starting in Genesis before this is over. Let's just go back to verse 7, and we'll just start right there, because it's very important that we just understand the context of what is happening here and what Jesus says. Everybody, you find it okay? If you haven't, that's okay. We're not going to be in any hurry. We just want to make sure, find the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Now, this is extremely important, because this part of my message I'm going to talk about beginning this morning, I'm going to talk about being disconnected, and how the enemy was able to disconnect mankind from God. But I want to talk about being reconnected throughout this message, and how not only do you need to be reconnected, but you need to be completely immersed and you need to be empowered. Okay? A total connection. I mean, where you will have abundant life wherever you go and whatever you do. Abundance. "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Okay, that's one of the things we want to talk about. Having that abundant life, being connected to the abundance that Jesus promised us. How many of us really want abundance in our life? I believe, you know, we want abundance. We want to be abundantly blessed by God. And you see what happened when the thief comes. The order of this thing is very important. The thief comes to do what? First, he's going to steal. He's going to steal your blessings. He wants to steal the blessings that God has for you. And every blessing that you can find in this Bible is yours. It's yours. But the enemy will lie to you, and he will try to steal those blessings. He'll try to take them from you by lying to you. And if he can convince you here in your soul realm that you do not have those blessings, then you will believe it and you'll fall into his trap. That's because the next thing that he does, he not only steals, but he kills. And he kills the dreams that God has for you and that you have had. How many have had your dream killed before? We've all been there, haven't we? The enemy wants to kill the dreams that God has for you and that God has instilled within you. Let's not allow that to happen. And the last thing he does is he destroys, after he steals your blessings, after he kills your dreams, he destroys through that the destiny that God had established for you. Do you realize that God has appointed a destiny for you? And it's not necessarily what you're living. You may think it is, but it's not necessarily what you are living right now. It may be that the enemy has been able to steal from you. It may be that he may have killed some of the direction. And you are not living in the ultimate destiny that God has. I can tell you this, that you have a choice in following the destiny that God has for you, or you can choose not to. And the enemy wants to keep you from fulfilling that destiny.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And it's not all just spiritual stuff. I'm talking about being spiritually empowered, absolutely. But it's not just all spiritual stuff. There's a physical component to this thing. And what God has for you. It has to do with your career. It has to do with your family. It has to do with your relationships. It has to do with your church. It has to do with your community. It has to do with your nation. It's a lot bigger than you are. But when we recognize these things, we will come together and be empowered by God to accomplish everything that He has called us to do. You to do individually, me to do individually, but us to do corporately.
Amen.
Corporate. Oh man, I'm talking about shaking the demons of hell.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm talking about walking up to the gates of hell and seeing them fling wide open and souls being snatched as they were about to go in. Talking about God's real power being released. But you know what? We have to be connected. Jesus said that the thief is going to try to steal all these things. Jump down to... Now let's go ahead and read on. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling... He who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Hirelings. Now, Jesus was talking about those who would come, but not really in fulfilling what God wanted them to. Those who had come before him, those who would come after him and say, you know, I'm the Savior. But he's also, we can look at this and recognize that there are hirelings that come in the church as well. And let me tell you something, you're gonna see a hireling in the pulpit, you're gonna see hirelings in evangelistic settings, you're gonna see prophets that are hirelings. And the way we can determine whether they are hirelings or not is, are they motivated by the dollar rather than by the Spirit of God? And if they say, I won't do this or do that unless I get this dollar, I think there's a problem. And there's a problem in the body of Christ. You know, I've talked to people before that I thought were anointed of God and should be praying and seeking the living God on whether they should go or what they should do. And the first thing they ask you is, can you come up with this amount of money? Instead of, oh, I'll pray about it and see what God wants. Is it this dollar? Man, we're being destroyed by the dollar in the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't mean to lay such a heavy load on you. I just want you to understand there is freedom in Christ. And it has nothing to do with what we gain financially. It has everything to do with serving the living God and letting Him take care of us. Because He said, all these things will be added to us if we seek what? First the kingdom. First the kingdom. Got to seek after the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. All right. Connection. Connecting to the abundant life. Jesus promised humans exceptional life. When he said abundance, I want to share just a few words that are synonymous with this word, parousos, the Greek word, in the English language. It means beyond measure. It means vehemently, it means advantage, it means superfluous, it means very highly exceptional, more than expected, beyond superfluous, beyond the norm, special advantage. Special advantage. Special advantage. You get a special advantage when you understand the abundant life that Christ wants you to have. And in order to experience an exceptional life, a special advantage, we have to be connected to in the right fashion. A couple weeks ago, my grandsons, Marshall and Owen, were riding the little Gator. It's a battery-operated little electric toy. And they drove it out in the yard. I wasn't there at the time, but when I came back, Beth said the Gator just stopped. It was going along, and all of a sudden it stopped. Well, I took the battery out of it. I couldn't see anything wrong with it. Tried charging, and it didn't seem to charge. So I had to take the top off from it. And somehow the connection came off in there. It was just pulled out. There wasn't any power going through the wires. The connections come off sometimes with Christians. You know, we're not tapped into the power. And particularly in the very beginning with God, the connection was broken. The connection was broken. And this is important for us to understand. We need to look at this, the fact that that connection was broken and what it really meant for that connection to be broken. Because you see, we have to understand the reality of the connection being broken before we can understand the importance of the reconnection that Jesus brought. Without understanding the fact that the connection was broken, why it was broken, how it was broken, and what it meant for it to be broken, we won't understand the reconnection. Because I'm telling you, I have had so many people say to me, and it happens to be a problem with our society because we're no longer biblically based, people do not understand the redemption process. I've had many people say to me, what do I need to be saved from? They have no idea why they need to be saved, why they need a Savior, why Jesus came. You know, he was just this good man that walked on the face of the earth and somebody killed him. Well, they don't understand the real process. They don't understand that he gave his life so that we could be reconnected. What do we need to be connected to, reconnected to? God, of course. All right, well, we're going to look at Genesis so that we can have an understanding. Go back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 through 7, so that we can begin with the basics and just move on from here. So that we will all have an absolute clear understanding of what took place with Adam and Eve and why we need to be reconnected to God. One of the many years ago when golf was just had just been invented in Scotland, the President of the United States went to visit Ulysses S. Grant. And while he was there, they wanted to show him this new game. So the guy took the ball and put it on the tee. And he took this club and he used all his force and he was going to knock that ball over the hill. That was his idea. And he swung with all his might. And he hit the dirt. What's it called? A divot? When you make a hole? Yeah. All right. I've golfed a few times, but I'm not real up on these things. Dirt went flying all over the president in his beard. He just shook it off. The guy stepped back, took another swing. The same thing happened. He did it a third time, then a fourth time, then a fifth time. Six times he tried to hit that ball, and he missed it every time. The president stepped back, and he looked at that, and he said, well, I can see that this game would offer a lot of exercise, but I don't see the need for the ball. Think about it. He didn't understand what was going on. Many people don't understand what's going on in the spirit realm. They don't understand what happened in the garden. They don't understand how deception came. And they don't understand how it is that mankind walked years and years and years and years without the Spirit of God to lead them and direct them. It was totally different than it is today. The Spirit would come down from time to time, but not dwell and rest in people like it does today. The power was totally different. So let's look at Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. This is the history of heaven and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. God took this body that he formed. It was perfect in its form. It was perfect in its soul realm. And it says that he breathed life into it. It became a living, the King James says soul. My New King James says a living being. It became alive because God literally spirited into man or breathed into man a spirit that would cause it to live. Now, you know, I know I've mentioned this before, but the reality is no one can tell you why our heart beats. They know that we have a heartbeat. They know that we have electrical impulses in our body, but no one knows why. How is it that we stay alive? It's because God ordained it to happen. God is keeping you alive. God is the one that caused the Spirit to come into a man so that we could be animated and have life. So God created a perfect body, a perfect soul, and a perfect spirit. Man was perfect in all his ways. Perfect. Living man. And God planted him and placed him in a special place on this earth. And he gave him what we're going to read here in just a moment. He gave him authority. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Go back. This is just another account of the same thing. God created man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. King James says, over everything that creeps upon the earth. I heard a pastor one time say that there's proof that we have dominion over all the creeps in our life. Well, it's not exactly the way he meant it. But over all the things that are alive, God gave man. This is referred to as the dominion mandate. God gave man a purpose in the earth to fill it and dominate it. And I know that man has done that. He's filled it. He's dominated it. But not exactly the way God intended it. God had intentions in the beginning for man to continue to be that perfect being so that he could dominate and manage this earth. from the position that God gave him. We have certainly dominated this earth, but we've done it as imperfect beings, carrying out the mandate that God intended for perfect beings to carry out. So what do we see in our world today? We see a distortion of God's kingdom in the earth. We just see a distortion of what God intended to happen. The enemy has created this distortion. Genesis chapter 2, once again, verse 8. And God called the firmament of heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went from Eden to the... I'm going to skip verse 10. Let's go to verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Remember, God created this perfect man in all his ways. And he gave him one commandment. Don't eat of this tree. But he also gave him a mandate to dominate, expand, and accomplish the dominion of this earth. Now, I'm going to throw something out here to you that, you know, I don't know whether you've really thought about it or not. But you could surely say that at that point in their life, Adam and Eve in the garden had an abundant life, correct? They were living the abundant life, exactly what God wanted for them. Now, I realize that we do not have all the information. All we know about Satan, Lucifer, is that he became proud and he tried to overthrow God. In fact, Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, "I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven." So Jesus was, right there, Jesus was declaring his deity. I was there when Satan fell from heaven. I saw it. Therefore, as God in the flesh, Jesus could exercise all the authority that he had. As a perfect man, he walked on the face of the earth. As God himself, he walked on the face of this earth. As we read in Genesis, we're reading about the creation and beginning of the history of mankind. So we have little understanding of all that took place with Satan and how he rebelled. But we do know this. He had already rebelled against God. And he came into this garden and he tempted man. Tempted man. First he tempted the woman. And the woman fell for his temptation. And the man was not necessarily fooled by it. He just went along with it. Had he taken his rightful place at that very point, just like Jesus did when he was fasting and praying, and the enemy came to him and tried to tempt him, he said, "It is written." Had Adam said, "God, it is written, God said, don't touch that or don't take from that tree." Had he done that, and he said, "This is wrong," he could have brought his wife back and said, "This is wrong, we're not going to go there." But he stood and watched the whole thing and allowed it to happen. Because he stood and watched it and allowed it to happen, he gave dominion to the enemy. Gave this earthly dominion. Now here's something I want you to think about. I don't know when all that took place with God and Satan, but I do know that the Word of God says that the earth was perfect God saw it, and he was pleased with what he created. Correct? But for some reason, God saw fit to create a garden for Adam in this world where everything was perfect. I don't know what was going on the outside of that garden. Have no idea. Maybe there was chaos. Maybe the enemy had created chaos and things were out of order. But for some reason, he told man, expand this garden all over the world, and you will have dominion to do so. It's important that we understand that God planted Adam and Eve here for a purpose.
That's right.
To walk in his authority and his power. And to accomplish his will. His kingdom was planted here on earth. And he expected his kingdom to be expanded all over this world. Instead, the enemy was able to get an upper hand by deception. And Adam turned over the authority of the world to him. And as we look in our world, throughout our world today, we see that happening. Everywhere we look, we see the kingdoms of men and the kingdoms of the enemy being promoted and lifted up. But we as believers in Jesus Christ have the authority to walk in the power of God, to promote the kingdom of God, and to see people snatched out of the jaws of death and hell. Through the power of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. In Genesis 1, verse 28, it says, "And God blessed man and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the sea, the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves.'" Now, something we don't want to miss here is it says God blessed them. That was God speaking a blessing upon Adam and Eve. And he said to them, now when we read this, we read it more like this. God blessed them and he said, if you want to, be fruitful and multiply. If you want to, fill the earth and subdue it. If you want to, have dominion. That's not what God's saying to them. God is saying, I bless you and you will be fruitful and multiply. And you will have dominion. And you will subdue the earth. You will. That's the way we've got to approach God's word. That he is speaking directly to us and you will overcome. You will be victorious. Not just maybe, you will accomplish the things God wants you to accomplish. You will rise up. You will be the head and not the tail. You will be above and not beneath. You are more than a conqueror. Not you can be, you are. It's already happened.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Based on the scriptures that we just read, God intended for Adam and Eve to subdue this earth and create a special place, a heaven on earth, if you will, for mankind to live. But I want to tell you something. We need to recognize that God never intended for Adam and Eve, for him to micromanage the world. He gave the authority to Adam and Eve to do that. Yes, he said he would be there with them. And yes, they had a unique relationship with their Heavenly Father. One it's incredible that it was severed. I'm sure it was very heart-wrenching to them once they found out that God was no longer going to come down in the evening and walk with them.
Yeah.
He wasn't able to. Because of the sin that came into their life. They couldn't stand in the presence of a holy God. He didn't abandon them. They were disciplined for their actions. And he still spoke to them. And he still had a relationship with them. But not the same kind of relationship. They were disconnected from that relationship that would have caused them to be able to have dominion and spread the kingdom of God all over the earth.
Yes,
disconnected from it. But God wants to reconnect. He wants to reconnect people that feel like they've been outcast. He wants to reconnect those who are spiritually dead. He wants to reconnect those who are seeking and looking for the power of God. He wants to reconnect his people. In Genesis, where it says in Genesis 2:17 that Adam and Eve were not to take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it says, if you do, you will surely die. And the Hebrew word there literally means dying you shall die, or it shall start the process of death. You shall start the process of spiritual, emotional, and physical death. And that was a horrible death, particularly the spiritual part of it. Because it meant separation from the living God. Now, because Adam was autonomous in his being, his disobedience to God caused complete death in him. Completely. So when they committed to sin, the death process of the soul, the spirit, and the body started immediately as God cast them out of the garden. Of course, that's spiritual death. The soul and the spirit part is the part that we are looking forward to, that we always look forward to, God renewing in people's lives. And yet, we also know that there's going to be a day when Jesus Christ returns that even our bodies are going to be reunited with our soul and spirit, and we're going to live forever and ever. And ever. But, and there's going to be a time, 1,000 years, that the kingdom of Jesus Christ is going to be set up on this earth. The bodies, we're going to live in bodies. They're going to be glorified bodies like Jesus. When he came and he came back from the dead, guess what? He walked through a wall. And yet they could touch him.
That's right.
I can't explain that. All I know is God.
That's
right. It's going to be supernatural, but we're going to have bodies, perfect bodies, complete bodies, glorified bodies. Hallelujah. But here's what I want you to understand, and I hope that you can take away from this morning, is that I've had people say to me, Pastor, if God was so loving, why is there so much pain and war and destruction in the world? Well, I've just explained some of that to you this morning. It's not God's will. You see, garden life was God's will. You know? Can you imagine garden life? I get up every morning, tend to the flowers and the fruit, go over and expand the kingdom just a little bit more, plant some new trees and grass and new flowers, landscape a little bit. Go sit under the shade tree, sip some iced tea, enjoy life, sit with my babe. You know?
That's right.
You know? That's garden life. I could enjoy that. That's what God intended. Peace on earth. Prosperity for all. Everything that we needed at our fingertips. But man messed it up. There's war. There's death. There's hell on earth. Because that's man's will and Satan's temptation leading him in that direction. Not God's.
That's right.
Don't let anyone tell you.
Come on.
Don't let anyone tell you that a loving God would stop all this. A loving God tried to stop all
yes,
this.
Sir. Yes, sir.
A loving God is still trying to stop
Absolutely.
All this.
Absolutely.
He has sent his son, Jesus Christ,
yes,
to reconnect the world to Almighty God.
Yes.
That's the way he wants to stop it. But man keeps rejecting it. Turning away from it. all these evil things that are happening in our earth today are instituted by man, but I got to tell you, they are directed by an enemy. Lucifer, the devil, whatever you want to call him, the dragon, he's got several names in Scripture. And he manipulates and controls men so that man has to dominate and control others. So that man has to create wars and hurt one another. So that man has to take from somebody else rather than give, like Jesus did. In 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, Satan is the god of this world. It says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We're going to talk more about this, the reconnection and what it means to us and the power that was given to us as believers and how there are things that we need to do. There are baptisms that need to take place in our life. We need to be baptized in Christ. We need to be baptized in water. We need to be baptized in the spirit that Jesus said he would baptize us in. We need these things in our life so that we can be overcomers. People have said to me, God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. That's absolutely. He is a sovereign God. That's why, in the beginning, he established the rules. He established the rules when he said to Adam and Eve, I have placed you here and given you dominion. Go and take it. He established the rules from the very beginning, and he said, this is the way it's going to happen. I'm going to operate through human beings. Yes, sir. I'm going to delegate to them responsibility. He's always had to have human beings to operate in this earth. Just a few. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Deborah, Rahab. Others that I haven't mentioned. And thousands that are not mentioned in the Bible. And thousands that are not mentioned today. God is using in this earth to accomplish his will. Humans. That's how the kingdom of God is spread. That's how the kingdom of God is built. That's how the kingdom of God overtakes the enemy's territory, through human beings.
Yes, sir.
And if we're sitting around waiting for God, well, come on, God. Well, we're waiting on you.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Show up, God. Show up. Come on. Come on, God. Strike them, guys. Strike those evil naysayers. Just get them, God. Get them. Not God.
That's right, that's right.
You know what he said? Love your enemies.
Amen.
Care about those who despitefully use you and mistreat you. That's how the kingdom of God is spread. He uses you and me to be an example over this whole earth to expand his kingdom. And he wants to expand it, but he needs people. Like I've been talking about with this warfare, he needs people who understand that we are in a battle.
Yes, sir.
And that there is going to be some skirmishes. That you may take a few scars for the kingdom. But if you recognize who you are in Jesus Christ, you will be, because you already are, victorious. Kingdom-minded, kingdom expansion. God established his people to expand his kingdom. He did it in the Old Testament. He did it with Adam and Eve. He established them to expand his kingdom all over the earth. When they failed, he kept finding people who were willing to do his will to expand his kingdom. And today we have something greater than they had in that Old Testament. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit that will cause us to be able to be bold, to speak the word, and to tear down the strongholds of the enemy.
That's right.
We have something mightier than what they had.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We have the reconnection.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And we'll talk more about that. Amen. Listen to what 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, and we're going to wrap things up. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, that's just part of the verse. He was speaking to a king that had not been obedient to him. And he goes on to say this, therein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. The first part is real encouraging, isn't it? It's wonderful. God's looking for people. Hallelujah. His eyes are running all over this world looking for someone who will say, I serve the living God. God will show up on their behalf and he'll be strong because their heart has a desire to please him. But if we have a heart that is torn between this world and the kingdom of God, it says, therefore, thou shalt have wars. That's the reason sometimes we have so much problem in our life. We're torn between two worlds. We've got one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom of God. It's time for God's people to get serious about serving the living God. Let's jump in to the kingdom with both feet.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, sir.
And accomplish the will of the Father. Stand with me.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.